It's a Monday morning and time now for the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone who's listening to us this morning. We're glad that you tuned in. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station, our number is 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 or *56 on your cell phone.
You know, over the past year, we've done a lot of discussions here on the air about a plethora of topics. Matter of fact, I brought in my entire file of the show notes, etc.
It's a lot of notes. Yeah.
Is that a mountain of material or what?
It's a mountain of material.
Oh. But this is the life you've always wanted. And as we've talked so many times, that in itself has different meaning for different people. And today, so many people seem to be pessimistic about life. Oh, another day at work, another day at the grind. We've ended this show so many times with, it's your life, it's your choice, make it a great one. Now, that's more than just a show line.
That's a hard concept to get your head around. When we realize that our life is our life, this is our one and only life on this earth. And we can either live it miserable, being victimized and responding as a victim, or we can live life choosing, no matter what happens to us, to get on with our life, to make choices that better our life, to make choices that our life can be more productive. Our lives can be more productive in every way. To choose today and know that our choices today will affect choices tomorrow, and that whatever choices we make today, we choose one door and we close another. We choose one way of life and we shut off another. We limit ourselves by the choices we make, but we also define ourselves by the choices that we make. And Ken, I think that's a hard thing for some people to accept. They really have choices. You know, talking about choices, there's a headline in the News Leader this morning, Springfield News Leader, that talks about the sentiment on drilling is changing, talking about drilling for oil. For 30 years, we've been against drilling and we can't drill because of environmental concerns. But the country wants action taken to reduce gas prices. You know, that's kind of the human condition, though. That we won't move off the high center that we're on, in the ruts that we're in, until it gets too uncomfortable being in that rut. And then we've got to do something.
Yeah, we see that quite often in a lot of lives. And then we also see those that never get off the high center. They just sit stranded. Why do we decide to settle in life? Why do we decide to be a victim? Why do we decide, this is just the way it's always going to be? Well, that's a choice. Not the one I choose. And so many people are actually not even aware in a lot of times that they are hung up. Yeah. If it's always been the way it's always been, how do you know any different? That it could be any other way. Something inside says so, maybe, but for the most part, we have to be able to recognize where we're at. And sometimes that takes just slowing down, stopping and looking at where our lives are. And is this where I want to be? Is this the way I want to be? Is this the type of parent I want to be? Is this the type of husband I want to be or wife I want to be? Whatever the case is. But we have to do more than just complain. You know, we're going into the political system. Of course, we've got baseball coming up, and then coming into the fall, you'll have football, etc. But you know what America's favorite pastime is? Do you have any idea what America's favorite pastime is? If you think you know, give us a call, 862-9977. What is America's favorite pastime? Dan, say it again.
Baseball.
Nope. Try again. Anyone else? 862-9977. Give us a call. What is it that Americans do so much, so often, for so long?
You know, we're talking about the ruts that we're in. You know, most of us will do the same thing day in and day out. We never look at past today. We never look past today. And we unconsciously do things every day the same way, the same time, the same place. So that our lives can become filled with tedium and boredom, and we really don't know what's wrong with our life. You know, if we always do what we've always done, we always get what we always got. Dan.
Okay, we have a caller. I think he wants to guess what America's favorite pastime is. Right. This isn't working today. The reason I have it up there.
Oh, okay.
It's Brian on the phone from Springfield.
Brian, good morning.
Hello, Brian. Are you there?
The maybe there the favorite is. We got... pastime is television.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's very good.
That's not the answer we're looking for, but that's a good one.
Thank you.
862-9977. 862-9977.
What is America's favorite pastime? Yeah. That's a good question. I think we just all stop and think about it. We know the answer. We just know the answer.
So what is America's favorite pastime? Let's give it another try. 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening to the online stream, 1-800-375-0056. But choices. We have the right, we have the ability to make choices. So how do we take ownership of our life? How do we actually stand up for ourselves and make a choice? Especially when it's one when you're sitting there and you're not sure how to go about doing it. Can I really do this? Do I really have the right to make a decision for my life? Sometimes we feel trapped. All righty, we have another call?
We do have. We have several. Zane is on the air first. Zane, good morning.
Good morning, Zane.
What's America's favorite pastime?
Is it eating?
that's a great guess.
That is definitely an enjoyable one for a lot of Americans. But that is not the answer we're looking for
today.
That is,
you're right. That's a good
question. That's a great one. Thanks, Zane.
We have, let's see, our next one is Janice is on up next.
Janice, what is America's favorite pastime?
How about sleeping?
Sleeping? Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's something I get a lack of. I definitely need more sleep. That's not what we're looking for this morning, though, but thank you very much. So we've had baseball, eating, sleeping. Oh, let's try one more.
Okay, we have a couple more here. We have George is up next. George, you're up. Good morning.
George, good morning.
Good morning.
What is America's favorite pastime?
Driving.
Driving. Oh, that's enjoyable. I know a lot of times people used to take Sunday drives. Does anyone really do that much?
Yeah, we used to take Sunday drives.
That's not the answer we're looking for, though, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's a good...
Okay, we have a couple more. Let's go now to, let's see, Karen is up next.
Karen?
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
What's America's favorite pastime?
Complaining.
Oh, ding, 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 have a winner!
America's favorite pastime.
Oh, we do that so well. Karen, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have several other callers there, but...
I'll tell you, let's real quick, let's get a couple other answers real quick.
Here's Rich is up next.
Rich, what was yours?
Communication.
Communication? That's close.
That's close.
All right, next one.
Let's see, we got one more here. I guess I hung up.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Got several calls on that.
America's favorite pastime is complaining.
Oh, we do that so well. Now think about it. Every time we turn around, we're going to complain about something. We're going to have an opinion about something. And so many times, it really doesn't matter, you know, particularly the topic. But we'll have an opinion. We'll have something that goes on.
And it's good to have an opinion. It's good to have some thoughts about what's going on around us in our neighborhoods, in our community, and in our country. It's good to have an opinion about things and to know why we believe what we believe.
We have another caller.
We still have one holding on. We had Alan on the line. Good morning.
Alan, good morning.
I think America's favorite pastime is watching TV, which is not mine.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
A lot of people watch TV. No, a lot. TV.
Thank you, Alan.
TV is really distracting. TV is just really distracting. It's not that TV fills our lives in or we have to have something, but TV distracts us from things that are going on in our life. And a lot of couples who are having problems watch TV, not that TV is the problem, but that it keeps them from communicating. Yeah.
It's a mini vacation.
Yeah.
We can
get
involved inside it. But America's favorite pastime, complaining. And we do it so well. We have those that have enough wine, there isn't enough cheese to go around. And they can make a fine wine. Sometimes it's bitter, sometimes it's pretty sweet. You're getting pretty good arguments. But all the complaining in the world, all of the moaning, all of the blaming, all of the whatever, doesn't amount to a hill of beans if we do not take action. If we do not analyze what we're saying, if we're not analyzing what we're hearing, and then make a choice forward. So how do we do that? Sometimes we need help because sometimes we don't see the answer.
Well, you know, a lot of times also people complain, believing that they are helping the situation by complaining about it. And, Ken, you're exactly right that if we're complaining, we don't necessarily have to do anything about it. And one of the first steps of changing something is not simply complaining about it. It's knowing that we're dissatisfied with the situation. That's good. It's knowing that there are things that can be better. That's good. You know, it's knowing that things are not right or not as effective as they could be. That's good. But simply complaining about things or blaming other people for our situation in life or for things that we think are beyond our control, outside of our control, then we feel like if we complain enough, then somebody else will take some steps to correct it. And our responsibility, it comes back to us. You know, what can I do to affect my life? And that's what we're talking about this morning. What can I do to affect my life? Not control other people, not change other people, but change how I respond to this situation. You know, I thought, and I heard a conversation the other day about this, about the oil prices and about gasoline prices, about people driving and having to fill up their cars. And, you know, I just stopped and thought at one point, what if everybody who's driving, what if everybody for 2 weeks simply filled up on a half tank? That was the fill-up. You say, well, I use the same amount of gas no matter whether I fill up all at one time or not. Well, that's true. Okay? But if you let the oil companies hold the gasoline for you, and then you purchase the second half later on in the week, if we all did that, would it have an accumulative effect of helping the gas prices? I don't know. But it's some way to respond to what we perceive to be stresses in our life.
And it's a choice.
It is a choice.
You know, the one thing that I do, and I will agree to this point, putting half a tank in, that's half the weight of the gas you're not carrying. What's a gallon weigh? About 7 pounds per gallon?
About 10.
About 10 pounds per gallon?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can shed off 100 pounds that you're not carrying around. Talk about saving fuel, that's one way. But also, it does have a ripple effect in the supply side. Supplies will back up a little bit. And, you know, we need to have inventory show up, a backing up. Slow down some people that are trying to continue to push the price higher.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's the end all and be all. I'm simply saying that's one way to respond, that we can choose to respond. Things become more stressful in our lives. And we tend to complain more about things in our lives when we feel as though we have no control, or we have no recourse, or we have no option available to us. And as that perception builds, the stress builds in our life and becomes a vicious cycle. The stress, the more we stress, the more we complain. The more we complain, the more helpless we feel. The more helpless we feel, the more stress we feel. The more stress we feel, the more we complain. And so it's just an endless cycle. So we need to be able to see what options we have available to us. And because we don't know the answer doesn't mean there isn't one. Because we don't know the options doesn't mean that there's not one about any situation in our life.
What are the top things that are stressing you out right now? Give us a call. A couple of examples. 862-9977. What is stressing you out the most? Lack of sleep, lack of fun, whatever. Give us a call. 862-9977. Because this is important. As we sit there and we look at our lives and we're driving around in our cars and we've got five other things ahead of us that we haven't done or that we're heading to. How do we slow down and actually step back, take a look, and say, you know, it's got to change?
And if you want to identify the stresses, the things that are stressing us in life, let's just look back at the things we've been complaining about. Just look back at the things we've been complaining about this past week or two. And those are things normally that are our top stressors in life. It could be the kids. It could be summer vacation. It could be high gas prices. It could be having to move. It could be a lot of different things that we feel like we have no recourse. We have no options here.
But what do we have control over? What do we have control over? We can complain. Oh, we can do that good.
And do it well, yeah.
Well, what can we control? Dan, can I control you? Just knocked him right off his feet. He was not expecting that one. Can't control him, but I can push him around a little. We can influence. We can have an effect on people. Will it be good or will it be bad? Can I control it? What do I have control over? What do I have control over? Me. I'm the one that I have control over. That's it. I can't make anyone else do anything else I want them to do. I can try to influence someone. I can be nice. I can be mean. I can be gentle. I can be forceful. But when it comes down to life, the one thing I have control over is me. How I respond to life. And how I engage life. That is a powerful thing. When you sit there and go, I have the choice. It's my right to live my life and to make the best of my life. To not sit there and be a ragdoll for someone else to throw around. To actually have a choice and say, today it will not be the same as it's been. To make something different.
Yeah, the old saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life.
That's true.
No matter what our lives have been like up to today, we can choose today to have a different rest of our life. And to me, that's just awesome. That's awesome to think that the choices that I begin making today, to begin changing things about myself today, how I respond to my situation, to my relationships, to my environment, how I choose to do that, determines a different rest of my life, regardless of how my life has been to this point. You know, so if our situation is that we are newly married, we perhaps have small kids, we're beginning to get bills in, and the money is short, and we're living paycheck to paycheck, and we're stressed about that. Or we've been in a relationship a while, and it's an abusive relationship. We feel like we have no choice, that we are a prisoner in a relationship. We can make different choices about that. Or if we feel like that we've been married, and now we're divorced, and no one else wants us, or that we're not desirable anymore. We can make different choices about that. Or we feel like we have no friends. No one is reaching out to us to be their friend. No, we can make different choices about that. How we respond to all of those things. Okay? Whatever our life has been to today, beginning today, our life can be different by the choices that we begin making today to change ourselves and how we respond to the situations, the context of our life. Am I the person that others want to be friends with? Am I the person that someone wants to be my wife? Am I the person that someone wants to walk up to and say, Daddy! That's what I have control over. Me. But so many times we want to sit there and we will play down on ourselves. We are the hardest on ourselves, harder than anyone else. Oh, that's so true.
We don't forgive ourselves. Judgmental, critical, we tear ourselves apart. It has to stop somewhere. It has to make a change. Am I the friend I want to be? Am I the friend someone else wants to have? I can change me. Have you ever been around people that are just so positive? You sit there and go, that's exhausting watching someone be that happy. But you feel good being around them? Mm-hmm. And you wonder, what is their secret?
Or you see a person like that and you think, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could meet people like that. I wish I could go up and just talk to everybody like that. Well, maybe you can. Now, because you've not done it up to this point, doesn't mean you can't. But I've heard people, you know, I've had people tell me, but that's just not me. Well, I want you to stop and think about something. Who you are today, how you believe yourself to be this day, right now, June 16th, 2008, how we perceive ourselves right now is the accumulation of all of our life experiences to this point. All of our choices and all of our experiences and all the consequences of those choices and how we responded to all of those things is how we see ourselves today. If we want to see ourselves differently tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next month and next year, we can begin to change things about ourselves right now by the choices that we make. Instead of sitting back in a chair saying, I wish somebody would come up and talk to me, stand up, stick out your hand and say,
hi, my name is Ken.
Yeah.
My name's WK.
You know, and some people are by temperament more extroverted or more introverted. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All we need to do is stand up and introduce ourselves, smile, and tell them that we would like to get to know them better. Now, we don't have to take them home and keep them.
And this isn't an in-depth life story.
It's not a marriage proposal. This is simply, hi, this is who I am. I want to get to know you better, and I'd like to share some thinking with you. I'd like to share some thoughts with you. Because it goes back to those three greatest needs that we've got. To be understood for who we are. To be accepted unconditionally, not on how well we do anything. And to be valued more than the whole world. Those three core needs that we're born with, we live with, and we have till the day we die. That if we take the initiative and we allow other people to understand us and to feel accepted by them and to be valued by them, then we are meeting our needs without waiting on someone else to do that for us. And so that's what we're saying. If you sit in the chair and you're waiting for people to come see you, or if you've sat at home waiting for people to call you, or if you've just not done anything, you've not taken the initiative to better your life, to better your social relationships, to develop friendships and other relationships, to change how other people perceive you, then you can choose today to do that. You can stop complaining and choose today to do it differently. That's what we're talking about. Now, for a lot of people, that's why we said at the very beginning of the program this morning, that's hard for some people to get their mind around because they've always been the victim and they think that there's no other way to live. But there is.
No one else can be us. We're unique. Even if I'm a twin, I'm still unique.
Yeah, is it true that twins don't have identical fingerprints? I heard that the other day. I think it's true. Even twins have different fingerprints.
Very, very slight variation.
But we are all unique.
We are.
We are all a special, precious creation of God. And we all have inherent value. I asked a man the other day, I was talking with him in my office, and I asked him, I said, do you know how much you're worth? Because he was really struggling with his self-concept. And he looked at me kind of surprised and he said, well, probably about a dollar. And that's what he said. I said, did you know that scientists did an experiment several years ago about all the elements in the body, and if these elements were at market value, what it would figure up to be, just the human body? He said, no, I hadn't heard that. I said, did you know what the results were? He said, no. I said, what they found out is that the human body is worth, well, market value, about $6 million.
I've got 10 pounds to shed. Can I sell this?
Well, I've got more than that to shed, let me tell you. And I wish I could. But, you know, most of us walk around like we're a bag of dirt. And if we look in the mirror and all we see is a bag of dirt, that's how we treat ourselves. If we lived in a $6 million home, how would we treat it? If we drove a $6 million car, how would we drive it? Would we let others abuse it? Or would we really think highly of it? You know, that's just the elements in the human body.
And that's something to think about. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are WK and Ken Boyce on the second half of the show.
And we're back. I want to thank our callers in the first half of the program. As we were talking about America's number one pastime, which is complaining.
Complaining. Oh, poor little old me.
The plum disease.
Poor little old me.
Oh, man.
If you'd like to give us a call, phone number is 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056. Now, this morning, we got into this because as we've ended every show, it's your life, your choice, make it a great one. And that concept sometimes can be very difficult to get around, or we just kind of push it to the side. But it is our life. It is our choice how we will live it, whether we'll do what's right, whether we'll do what's wrong, whether we'll decide to be someone that's engaging or we'll decide to be someone that's just a victim. It's our life. Is this the life we've always wanted? We had a radio show, actually a really good show, probably about 6 weeks ago, called Is This the Life I Always Wanted?
Yeah.
By taking a look at who we are, where we are, and where we're going. As an individual, and then from an individual as a couple, from a couple as a family, because everything starts with us.
Yeah, you know, to live our life is powerful. It's empowering. Or to let others live our life, which is victimizing. For others to tell us how to live our lives, or how we think and how we feel, is unempowering. It's victimizing. And so we need to choose, which one is it going to be? We can be like Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman. You know, that he went to his grave not knowing who he was.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that's being the ultimate victim. Or we can choose to live our lives according to who we are.
And there was, in the movie The Matrix, one of the best scenes in there, Keanu Reeves has been brought out of The Matrix. He's now in the real Earth, in the real world.
Yeah.
But they take him back in to meet the Oracle, to find out if he's the one. And she asked him, do you think you are the one? He goes, really? I don't know. She goes, do you see that sign above the door? It's Latin. It means know thyself. Being the one is kind of like being in love. You either are or you're not.
Hmm?
But only you will know.
Yeah.
To know thyself. We have a caller.
We do have Jim from Mount Vernon.
Good morning, Jim.
After the statement you made about what the human body is worth, that proves that they're... is some truth to the $6 million man.
Oh, that's true, Jim. I just wish our bodies were like the $6 million man.
Well, it used to be that a human body was worth, it was around $1.68.
You know, that's what I heard growing up, too. About $1.68. But we're worth so much more than that.
So I guess it proves that anything is possible.
Anything is possible, absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, Danny had an interesting comment on the break, talking about, I guess his mother had seen a few men in her life, met people throughout things. And what was the comment she had?
Well, someone is somewhat arrogant. She'd say, I wish I could buy that man for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth.
Yeah, some people have that. And did you know people who have an inflated sense of self, did you know truly, really think very little of themselves? They're trying to inflate or exaggerate. And when we know what we're worth, when we know our value, we don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the point. We don't have to do that. Well, a man said at one time that I must be me for this. I've come into the world. And if we really stop and think about how God has made us, and he's made each one of us unique, and he's gifted each one of us with different talents and abilities, and we all can see genetically how we're different. You know, some are very tall, and some are very short, some are very thin, some are very not thin, you know. And we need to know that there are a lot of differences, but a lot of people have differences of mind and differences the way we think, different levels of intelligence, different levels of functionality, different levels of being able to relate in different ways with their environment. But we all have choice. You know, the only people who can't choose are those who are comatose. Those are the only people who can't choose. And I often tell people that we must not do for someone else what they can and must do for themselves. And put a little caveat with that, we must not do for someone else what only they can choose to do for themselves. That's what we're talking about this morning. Choice. Not complaining, but choosing your life, how you really want your life to be.
Not even necessarily not complaining, but recognizing where that's coming from. Because what we do with that information affects how we live. It even affects the political system, political process that's coming up. I'll talk about that just a little bit later. But how we live and how we view ourselves is how we also vote.
That's interesting. How we see ourselves is how we vote? That's what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And sometimes the way we've been taught, we haven't been taught what's right. You know, I've seen some things in people's lives, in their personal life versus their political life. They're polar opposites, but they won't recognize it. And I'll go into a little bit of that here in just a couple minutes. But the reason we're talking about all of this is empowerment. We have a choice to make. We have a choice to make every moment of our life. And that's empowering. Choosing not to be a victim. Choosing to not be in a miserable marriage. To take steps that are going to affect a different outcome. You know, I can't change my spouse because she's a pain in the rear. Can't change my spouse because, well, he's just a bum. I can change me. I can change how I react to things. I can change what I put into my marriage. You know, generally, if you put something good into someone, what do you get back? Normally good. Now, if there's a lot of pain that's been built up between, sometimes it takes a whole lot of good before that trust starts to come back and good is reciprocated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing I can control is me. Every week, this is the life you've always wanted. And we talk about this because it's brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And we have professional counselors that counsel on the Christian value system. And inside that system, people find real life solutions. You know, one of the greatest things about being a part of Springfield Marriage and Family, and I'm not a counselor. I ended up being a co-host on a radio program. We've talked about that. How in the world did I end up being a co-host on this program?
Well, because I asked you to.
He looked across the table and said, take the mic. Okay.
Take the mic.
year later, here we are. But the most amazing thing is seeing a change in people's lives for the better, knowing that you're a part of making a difference. Hope. Giving someone a smile, a new direction, and being a part of that. Do I counsel people? No. But I help try to tell everyone I know about Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We have friends and family. We have those of you that are listening today that have told your friends, give Springfield MFI a call. Give WK a call. Do you have any idea how powerful that is? When you help someone make a difference in their marriage, in their parenting skills, or them as an individual.
It changes their lives.
And all it took was to say, give Springfield Marriage and Family a call. Give WK a call. Now, if you're out there listening, you're wondering about Springfield MFI, and who are these two guys on the radio? Go take a look at Springfield MFI for MarriageandFamilyInstitute.com. SpringfieldMFI.com. The entire website is there, plus every radio show we've done is there. You realize we have almost 5,000 playbacks of all the shows we've done.
Over the past year.
Over the past year. People are sending this to their friends. They're going back and listening to it. This is a resource for you and for your friends, for your family. So if you have questions or comments or things maybe just aren't working right and maybe you need to make a choice, give Springfield MFI a call. 882-6767. That's a pretty easy phone number to remember. Okay, no, you have to write that one down. But 882-6767. Give us a call today. Give our phone number to a friend. Give our email, our website to a friend. Make a difference. Sometimes we can't change things, but we can affect or influence. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a powerful thing when you say, you know, why don't you get some help? Talk to someone. Hey, I know some people you need to talk to. That's what we're saying. This is empowering. This is to achieve the life we've always wanted. If we want to be a better spouse, become who we want to be. Become the best I can be and let others react to that.
Yeah, and begin to share ourselves more authentically with each other. You know, so many times our lives are filled with telling people what we think they want to hear, or behaving in ways that we think people want to see, that we literally lose ourselves in that whole process. And we may have done this since we were a child. Many times as children try to please their parents and lose who they are as they grow up. And they switch from pleasing parents to pleasing a spouse or pleasing relatives or
the boss
or, yeah, whoever it may be. And they literally lose themselves. And they feel a great war struggle within them. And they think, if people really knew what I really thought, how I really feel, what I really want, what I really need, what I really expect, what I really will accept, and what I really will not accept, that the world literally will stop. It'll just blow up the whole world.
Well, tension, we'll have a fight. We'll have an argument.
That's how it feels. What people find is that people really begin to respond to them differently because they suddenly become a real person to be contended with. They have substance. They have authenticity. And they're choosing to give themselves differently, to share themselves in a different way that says, this is who I am. You may not agree with it, but I have the same right with my thoughts as you do with yours. I have the same right to have my feelings as you do yours. I have the same right to have expectations the same as you do. And as I share myself with you, then we can perhaps develop a better relationship.
You've had the same before. If I'm being me and you're being you, then I'm here, you're here, and we can be here together.
Yeah.
But if I'm being who you think you want me to be, or if you're being who you think I want you to be,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not here, you're not here, and we can't be here together.
We can't be here together. That's exactly right. We've got to have two people to have a relationship. To have a relationship, whether it's in a marriage, in a family, at work, at school, at church, wherever it is, we've got to have two people to have a relationship.
As we wrap things up, it is our life, and it's our choice. What we do with it is up to us. What we do with it is up to us. We can either be empowered, or we can be enslaved.
And we can do things to be empowered. We can choose to do things to better empower our lives. We have things available to us. We have tools that are available to us to be able to make better choices.
If you want to just sit and chew someone's ear and ask what's going on, maybe you're sitting there and going, you know, okay, what's the first step? Give WK a call. 882-6767. Set up a time to come in and talk. Maybe it's a friend of yours. Can't control the kids, has no idea what's going on with their kids. Give them a number. Refer them to the website. That is your power.
Or if you have some friends, or perhaps even yourself, that you and your marriage, or they're in their marriage, they need to get away and just spend some time about their marriage.
Uh-huh.
You know, go to our website and look at the getaway page.
That's exactly what I was heading to next.
Go right ahead.
We have a lot of getaways. And coming up August and September, these are marriage excitement weekends. These are set up for couples to come back and renew, rejuvenate, and refocus on who they are as a couple. And these are incredible times. People come back wishing it would last longer. But you know what? We've got other events coming up. Coming up in August, we'll be at Elfindale. In September, August, September, I think we'll both be at Elfindale. So take a look at the website, springfieldmfi.com. These are going to be some smaller events, maybe 15, 20 couples at max. Coming up in February, the large event, we're planning on going back to Chateau, so keep a look on the website for that. Also, coming up this fall, God's Gift of Sex. coming up at Ridgecrest Baptist Church. Look on the website for further details. Those will be posted and registration, etc., coming up soon. That is an awesome time. What did we learn? What did we learn it properly? What did we learn in church?
Yeah.
Take a look. SpringfieldMFI.com. This is the life you've always wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.